I know it sounds crazy, but it's true. This is the news according to me. It is a it's a fine hot chocolate morning this morning. And of course I have hot chocolate doesn't do much for your vocal cords, by the way. It has a tendency to kind of plug things up. You know, there's a lot of it's a thick kind of liquid, and there's a lot of stuff there that can gather in your larynx. It's called a larynx. That's what I call it anyway. I don't know if that's what anybody else calls it, but in my world, that's what I have. I have a larynx. I don't know if any of you noticed or not, but by the way, I'm in another undisclosed location. I am in a hotel, by the way, on this Good Friday morning. Good Friday morning to you. We'll talk about why it's good later. Last night I had a real interesting experience. I called this hotel a couple days ago, asked them, hey, I had this kind of situation where I had to park my car, go to the airport. Wasn't positive I was going to be back here or not. So I asked him if I could park my car here at this hotel to go to the airport. So I got in here just barely, like the van was pulling out when I made it in finally, because of some weather that I had to drive through. It was slowing everything down. They were closing roads and all kinds of things. Who'd have thunk it? So I got in here, literally, I just parked my car. He was starting to drive away with the hotel van to the airport. And he stopped and took me on. Otherwise, it would have been another half an hour, and that would have put me really tight on my show for my flight there. But I was able to pull that off. So then I get back to the hotel, and a lot later than I had planned on. I get in, and I'm tired and hungry. And I go to the desk to check in, because they said they were wide open the day before. Well, apparently there had been some cancellations, and all of a sudden the place filled up. And of course, it's Easter weekend, so a lot of people are traveling, fortunately. That's a good sign, actually. And so we had this little chat. He said, we've actually sold out all of our rooms. All the reservations have been taken, and we have nothing left. I said, well, do you happen to have a stable in the back that I can sleep in? No, I didn't say that. I said, really? I said, you're totally out. I can't even sleep on it, like behind the counter there somewhere. Because I was ready to. If they'd have given me a pillow and a blanket, I would have just curled up right there. I wouldn't have cared. They could have kicked me a few times. It wouldn't have disturbed me a bit. So they said, well, let me check and see what I can do. So he checks and sees what he can do. So he gives me a room. He said, I can give you a handicapped room if that's okay with you. I said, if it has a bed, and it sounds like it's probably easier to get around in this room, which, you know, I'm thinking right about now, I'm thinking, you know, I probably need a handicapped room. And so he gives me this handicapped room. Like I said, I guess that's proper to call it a handicapped room. What is it, a handy challenged room now? I guess, I don't know, something. So I get up to the room, get my stuff, and of course, by this point, there's a long line of people behind me. And I get up to the room, open the door, the lights are on, and there's a couple of like little plastic drink cups with tea or something in them, which I didn't bother tasting. I was tempted to, but I didn't. And I'm yelling, hello. Like, it looked almost as if there was someone in the room. You know, the bed sheets were all messed up and pillows were everywhere. Towels were on the floor. You know, typical, somebody's been here. Someone is here, or maybe someone's coming back here. So I'm, as it's a, you know, handicap room, I'm thinking maybe somebody who was handicapped is in here. Maybe somebody who, you know, has fallen down or something, hasn't ever left. So I'm being careful about that as well. Come through the room, and there's nobody here. And there's no personal belongings here. It was just those two kind of some cups that had some liquids in them, you know, whatever they were, tea or Coke or whatever they were. It was a little bit light colored to be Coke, I guess. I came in, and I tried to call the front desk, and of course they wouldn't answer. They were busy because they had a big long line behind, you know, me because I was taking up all their time. So I decided to go downstairs because I'm hungry. I'm figuring I'm just going to go find a restaurant. I've got my car, so I'm, you know, no problem there. So I go down to the lobby. Look, of course, he's still got like five people there he's talking to. So I decide I'll just go and I'll call from the phone as I'm, you know, because I don't waste any time. I'm going to go get some dinner. I'll give this guy a call. I need some more hot chocolate. My throat's starting. There we go. Now I can probably start hacking again. I get to the car, put my stuff in there. I had I had my iPad with me. I thought I could take notes. So I get to the car and I pull out, head over to this. I found a Lone Star, or not Lone Star, Longhorn Steakhouse. And it was only like 3 miles. It was supposed to take me 10 minutes to get there through the city here. And so I start driving. And I'm driving. And it seems like I'm going around in a circle. Something happened with the GPS here. I don't know what happened, but it took me, and maybe it was only 10 minutes, but it seemed like it took me a half an hour. I don't know if I was just ready to be there as soon as I got in my car, and it just seemed like it took that long. But I swear it said 3.2 miles, and I know I drove more than that. So I'm not sure exactly what happened there. I think it showed me a route, and then it took me on a different route. I'm pretty sure that's what happened, because it's attacking me. So I ended up headed off and got to the Lone Star. And then I'm thinking, okay, I'm in a different state than I'm normally in. Not state of mind, just I'm in a different state physically, geographically. And I'm thinking, I wonder if they're even allowing people to come in here. I might have to order out here, which I could have done over the phone and just stopped in and picked it up. I should have just done that. Speaking of time efficiency issues. Well, I didn't. So I get in there, there's about a 25 to 30 minute wait. But they were seating people at least. So they said, but you can go to the bar and there's open seat at the bar right now. I said, well, I'm taking the open seat at the bar. So I head to the bar, and of course they had that. It was limited seating even at the bar. There was like spaced out chairs and stuff. So I didn't care. As long as I could get food there, I didn't care. So placed my order. Things came out pretty quickly. By the time I had placed my order, got everything ready, I went ahead and called the hotel. And when I called the hotel, apparently the manager answered the phone this time. And I explained to him the situation, and, you know, said, so I got the handicap room, and it was, so I had left my bags in there because I was willing to sleep in that room. I didn't care. I would clean it myself. I was going to do that. If they just gave me some clean sheets and some towels, I was really willing to just, and a spray bottle, I would have no problem staying in that room. I live, you know, you're out in a, flying around in an airplane. Everything's, you live in a world of poo anyway. By the way, that's a Mythbusters quote that I've never forgotten. We live in a world of poo. And they did a little show on how much aspiration of fecal material comes out of your bathroom. And they had used toothbrushes, placed them around different parts of the house. And sure enough, it got almost everywhere in the house. No, there's just no avoiding it when things get aerosolized. And so I ended up letting them know what I would do. That he said, "Oh no, we'll work something out. We'll figure something out. We'll take care of you." Now, understand, these people had no obligation to me. I never made a reservation. They didn't owe me anything. They could have just said, "We don't have any rooms. Go away." They were already giving me a discounted rate anyway on a room that I'm pretty sure they could have sold for full price. So they, they gave me this. Give me their word that they're gonna take care of it. I have no problem. Okay. Sounded excellent. And by the way, these people at this hotel, they have always been extremely pleasant and friendly and competent. I've never seen a hotel in this area like this with people working the way they do. I don't know what their criteria for hiring people are. I don't know how they find these people, but it is pretty amazing to me, actually. Because most hotels you get, let's just say I go to a lot of hotels, and it's really a crapshoot what kind of people you get behind the desk. But anyway, so I finished my meal, headed back to and for some reason it did take less time, and I swear it was a lot shorter trip getting back to the hotel. I don't know what happened there. I didn't have to make near as many turns. And just really weird. So I get back to the hotel, and I drive in, and I try to look for a parking place. And I'm driving around, all this parking area. There's no parking area. My old spot's gone, of course. There's one car sitting with its lights on, but it doesn't move. I'm not even sure there's anybody in it. And I go driving around, and no empty, not one single empty spot in this whole parking lot area. There's no other place to park. There's not any place like on the street or any place to park in this place. So I drive around, and there is one area well beyond where there's like the hotel, and then there's like a restaurant, and then beyond that, there's another kind of like a parking lot that's beyond that. And I wasn't sure how far away their parking lot, existed, so I didn't want to park way down there and find out that my car was towed the next morning. So I pulled up to the front door again, walked in, and asked him about the whole thing, about parking. Well, first I asked him about the room, and he said, "We got a room for you. Here's your room. This is going to be in this room here." And so he gave me my key. I said, "Okay." I have my key. So I still have my bags up in the other room. I said, "As long as my key works, I can get my bags out of there, and I can take everything up there." And he goes, "Yeah, just leave the key in the room." He goes, when you get done, that's fine. Okay. I said, "I asked him about the parking issue." Of course, we own all the way down to the end of that, well beyond that billboard, everything on this side of the street. See, that's great. So that's, and by the way, that's like a half a mile. That was halfway to the restaurant. I could have just parked there and walked to the restaurant. So I drove down there. Of course, I drove really slowly just in case anything else opened up, but nothing else opened up, of course. Get down there, pull in. And one more bag in my car I wanted to bring into the hotel. So I grabbed that and started the trek back to the door at the hotel. Worked my way back and got to the hotel, got inside, got in the elevator, went up to the fifth floor, went to the room. The key wouldn't work. The key that I had originally had for that room didn't work. Now my bags are inside. I can't get to my bags. So, of course, life being what it is, and I got this one bag that I'm carrying, and I'm still carrying it. Can't leave it up there because I can't get in the room. So I decide that I'm going to go up to the, actually, I think I went right away. I think I went down to the front desk again. And I get down there, and of course, by this point, there's another van that had just arrived from the airport, and there's a line of people again. So I'm just kind of standing there off to the side, kind of looking, kind of thinking about life in general, how wonderful things are going. I don't know what kind of look I had on my face. Probably just a blank stare. That's probably just a... An empty head look kind of thing. Wondering what could happen, what could possibly go wrong. Oh my goodness. So, of course, I'm just glad to be in a warm, dry place. And even if I'm having troubles. So I go back. He tells me that, oh, your key must have been on a time limit thing or something. I don't know what he said. It's something about the key. There's just something, the key wasn't working right. So he redid the key for me, and so I got that done. Got back on the elevator. Went back up. And of course, every time I tried to get on the elevator, one of the first times I tried to, I think it was this time. Tried to get on the elevator. Hit the up button. Door opens up. I start to walk over towards the elevator door, and I realize there's a family of about 12 people inside there. And they're not getting off. And I said, were you guys coming off, or I'm not getting on there, obviously, because I'm not going to get on with 12 people. And they just kind of looked at me kind of funny, and the door closed again, and they went away. So I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what was going on there. I don't know. I don't know if they had just gotten on the elevator. I mean, I didn't see anybody get on the elevator when I walked up to it. I could see it quite a ways off, and it wasn't open. So I don't know if they were coming up from a basement level. I don't know what was happening there, or I have no idea. But it was just kind of strange that they, you know, there's this family there, and then they go away. So the door closed, and I pushed the button again. And a couple minutes later, the other door opened. I went into other elevator. Yeah. So then sometimes it just feels like, you ever feel like that you're just kind of like walking uphill against the wind? Did that ever happen to you? Or it just kind of seems like, you know, just all this little stuff is going wrong. Like, or not wrong, it's just difficult. You know, I mean, it's not like I'm stuck in a cave somewhere and, you know, the entrance collapsed and I'm buried alive and my legs are broken. But it's difficult. It's a difficult situation. So I get up to the fifth floor, get my stuff, drag it all up to the seventh floor, to a clean room with clean sheets and clean towels. And I'm stunned and amazed. It's kind of like, oh, kind of thing. You know, you walk in there. And I proceeded to basically throw everything on the floor and kind of got ready for bed. Tried to contact the wife. She was already considering I was in a different time zone. Now, think about this. I had started that morning about 5 o'clock in the morning. 5:30, I think it was. I think 5:15 is when my alarm went off. I finally got out of bed about 5:20 that morning. And now it is like 11 o'clock at night. And so I'm pretty much, I had two meals, I guess. One quick, you know, breakfast sandwich. And then I had this Longhorn salmon with rice and asparagus and sweet tea, of course, and a salad. That's important for this show. It's important for you to know that kind of thing. Because I want you to know my dietary practices. It's important. You know, anybody that you listen to, or anybody that speaks to you, you should ask them about their dietary practices. It's important. So I went to bed. The wife texted me and said, I didn't happen to notice the text right away. She said, it's getting ready for beddy by time here. And it's like, okay, well, let's make our phone call real quick. I said, and I waited a little bit, and I said, anytime now. Just kind of waiting for her to, you know, figured she's probably in the middle of taking care of the zoo there at the house. And so, of course she fell asleep. Just a couple minutes, she had fallen asleep. So I stopped. I was going to call her. I thought, I'm just not going to let her sleep. And I'll just go ahead and unwind here. So I got I have three teeth. I got all three teeth brushed. And I have two on the top and one on the bottom. Works pretty well. They mesh really well. So I went to bed and turned on the news, of course, and just to see what was going on in case I missed anything big, like a nuclear explosion or anything. And I'm hearing all that. I heard all this ridiculous news all night long. And it seems like there's you know, the talking points that are going on and stuff that's happening. It's just, it's frustrating and infuriating at the same time. It's almost as if the pundits have no independent thought. But I'm sure they do. They have independent thought, but it's like they're so driven by a, I call it the water-carrying narrative of the party. And I think that that both sides do, especially on the, well, maybe I'm just because I'm on the right. I don't know. Am I on the right? I don't know. I think that both sides have their agenda. And you'll see this, you know, when there's a Republican president in office, all of a sudden the Republicans are willing to go along with things that they probably wouldn't go along with if it was a Democrat president. I think we witnessed that during some of the budget issues that we're doing in the Trump administration. However, right now it's just beyond belief what's going on. And now, did I miss something? I must have missed something in the midst of all this chaos I've gone through in the last 48 hours. It's not chaos, just busyness. And I thought there was a $2.9 trillion bill that was supposedly going through. Now it's turned into a $1.9 trillion bill. Or $2 trillion. I guess they're just calling it $2 trillion. Which, you know, we know is going to be $3 trillion before it's done. That's the way that's the way this stuff always works. I've told you before. I'll tell you again. Because they allow, overrun allowances in this stuff. They always play this game, and that's their dirty little secret behind the scenes. So, they're calling it an infrastructure bill. And as usual, you know, roads and bridges, oh, they're all falling down. And for the children. It's for the children and their future. Well, their children. The children are going to have to pay for this because they're borrowing the money for it. I'll be long dead before this is paid off. And I'll probably live to 110. So it's going to be a while. But I'm hearing so much disingenuous stuff, a lot from the left, but of course, that goes without saying. When I call out the Republicans, I'm only calling them out because they might listen. The left will not listen. Just like AOC comes out now, everything's being called racist again, and they're ramping this up. They're not backing off from this at all. If you want to send your kids back to school, you're a racist white supremacist. If you want to, because we're trying to protect the children. If you want to stop the surge at the border, if you use the word surge, that's a military racist term, according to AOC. Now she wants to spend $10 trillion because we can afford it. She goes through all this stuff about how, oh, the country is this, the country is that. And, you know, we need to do this because we're trying to, you know, we got to, you know, for our future, for our children. Going to create millions of jobs. If you listen to Joe, he's reading his speeches, speeches that people are writing for him. This is going to create millions of jobs. He's starting to sound, I don't know if any of you remember, a guy by the name of Foster Brooks. There used to be this little thing. It was, I think it was Johnny Carson, I believe. Was it Johnny Carson? No, it was, who was it? Martin. I can't think of his name. He was an entertainer, and he used to do this roast thing. They would have this roast, and Foster Brooks was this guy who would come out. He was actually a doctor, and he didn't even drink, but he would imitate a drunk person. And when I was a kid, he would keep me laughing. Though I would just watch the show basically because of him. I think this thing only happened like once a month or once every couple months or something. They would have the Dean Martin. That's what it was. Dean Martin roast. I still got some brain cells. It's about three of them. I think they're one for each tooth. So I had Foster Brooks would come out. He actually spoke better than what Joe Biden does. And But they, you know, they're coming out and they're talking about this stuff, and they're just flat lying through their teeth. And this whole thing, you know, everybody knows. And this kind of reminded me of this when I heard. I turned on the TV this morning, and there's not much on this channels for watching this morning. I can't stand MSNBC or CNN, so I actually turned over to Fox and Friends, which I'm not a big fan of either, only because Brian Kilmeade is on there, and I'm not a huge fan of Brian Kilmeade. So they're on there and they're arguing about all this. They're talking about all this stuff and complaining about all this stuff that they're reversing just because Trump did it. Now they're reversing it all, like the stuff with the alliance that happened over there between Israel and some of the Arab nations, and how they're reversing that. They're pulling out of that. They're basically trying to just dissolve anything that Trump did. You know, Trump bad. Anything he did is bad. Taking us actually further back into a darker world, really, in terms of the way we're negotiating with people right now. You know, China is got the leader that they want in the White House. Now he's just going to kowtow and back down to everything. A leader who thinks we should be more like China. And this whole thing with AOC, she comes out, she says, we should be spending $10 trillion. You know, $2 trillion is not enough, or $3 trillion, or whatever the stupid thing's supposed to be. We need to spend $10 trillion. Well, she wants to spend $90 trillion, actually, because that's what the Green New Deal would really cost. $90 trillion. It's an investment in our future. It's like, now Joe is saying, it's like, that's what they said about going to the moon, going out into space. That it was, what's in it for us? Well, that's what they said about going into space. That's what they said. You know, they're comparing it to all these, that's what they said about the international park system. The international highway system. Okay, first of all, I don't know if any of you remember this or not, but about 4 years ago, we had this big infrastructure bill. Trump agreed to pass it with the statement attached to it, I'm not going to do this again. This is not going to happen again. In other words, I'm going halfway for you guys. I'm giving you this big spending bill. Now, what the problem is, what the Democrats do with all that money, that they get that money flowing, and it goes into election campaigns and funding and NGOs, the non-government agencies, organizations that help to organize voting. I am not even... I mean, that's not even a suspicion. That's been documented that stuff happens. So don't think it doesn't. This is where the money flows to. It flows into coffers that end up siphoning off money from there that goes back into the campaigns, places where they need it. That's all they care about. That's all they watch. This is much like Black Lives Matter. They only care about the Black Lives that matter, that they can get publicity from, not the ones that they can't. In other words, when 18 people on a weekend are shot and killed in Chicago, those lives don't matter. They won't even mention that. All the money that went to Black Lives Matter, none of the I'll say black-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses in Minneapolis or Kenosha, who got destroyed, no money goes to help them out. Or any businesses that got destroyed, for that matter. That's not what they're about. Money was funneled back to campaigns. And that's also documented. So, that's how this stuff works. But they're trying to, and here's the thing, this is all part of the Rules for Radicals book. You overwhelm the system, you try to break the system. Now, one of the things that they're trying to break is the U.S. dollar. Now, in the same breath, basically, that AOC is saying that we are, you know, that we need to spend that much money, you know, it's an eye-popping thing, she goes on and on about how much stuff we need and how desperate we are and how much poverty there is. And then she turns right around and says, we are the richest nation in the world. First of all, that's not actually true either. Per capita, that's not actually true. However, She says that. Well, how do you think we became the, you know, one of the richest nations in the world? Was it through Marxist socialist philosophy and ideology? Do you think that's how we got here? Then why do you want to change it into this somehow false sense of utopia that doesn't exist? Where we just, everything's free. And then Geraldo had the audacity this morning to start, you know, when it comes to immigrants and I'll call them immigrants, border crashers, illegal immigrants, and I'll call them what they are. You're breaking in. You're crossing over the border illegally. If you cross over legally, you're welcome to America. Welcome to the United States and sign up and have at it. Fulfill your dreams. If you come across the border illegally, if it was up to me, you'd be on the other side in three seconds. There's a line, you wait in line. That's the way we do things here. Because if you're willing to do that to get across the border, then you're probably willing to do that everywhere else. You're probably going to take somebody's Social Security number. You're going to be, you know, you're going to live in the shadows. You're going to, you know, kind of live in the underground, underworld, living in fear of being caught all the time. Just whatever it is. And then, of course, the next election comes up and you get to vote in it because you're living in, and you're voting out of fear because you're afraid the next president could potentially, you know, reinstate the deportation policies. So there you have it. Anyway, so Geraldo is going on and on about how, you know, infrastructure is important. But, you know, very little of this bill, I think it's like 10% of it, is infrastructure. The rest of it's all social agenda and, you know, politically correct stuff and the equity and racial equity stuff. But they can get all that stuff through because it's considered a budget for infrastructure, so they can do it through reconciliation. In other words, they can do it through a 51% or 51 margin vote instead of a 60-person vote. So they're very tricky about this stuff. But in the midst of it, they have, so Geraldo's saying how, well, infrastructure, no, what I consider infrastructure is, you know, having every child in the country for the children. It's for the children. The children need to have, every child should have Wi-Fi. Access to Wi-Fi. Every child should have a working laptop. Every child should have a working laptop. Yes, every child should have one. Well, then, Geraldo, I'll tell you what. Here's my first thought was this. If you believe every child should have, is entitled to, a working laptop, then why don't you make it your life's mission to raise the money to create a business? Maybe you can create a business manufacturing laptops. Or just some kind of even if it's just a charitable donation status business of some kind. Laptops for everyone. LTFE. And you go out and see to it that you fulfill your dream that every child has a laptop. Rather than, hey, I want to spend your money and make sure every child has a laptop. How do you do that? How do you just say, well, every child should have a laptop. Really? Every child? At what age? At what age should they have that laptop? And how nice of a laptop should they have? And should they get free upgrades? Should they have virus protection on it? What if they break that laptop? Do they get another one? What if they already have a laptop? They get another one? This is like government cheese. I don't know if any of you have ever had government cheese or not. I had government cheese. This is something that's back. Do they even give out government cheese anymore? I don't know. Government cheese was some of the worst cheese on the planet. I had some as a child. And I'll just say this. It was these, and I love cheese. But this was not cheese. This was a block of salt that they somehow infused dairy products into. I don't know what they did, but it was not good. As I remember, I think it was like a block of cheese that was like came in like this foil wrapper thing. And I think the expiration date was sometime, I think it was like year 2074, something like that. This was back in 1960s. Or maybe it might have been in the 70s, early 70s. I don't know. 60s probably. Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm just going to finish up the show with this. One thing I want to talk about is, I want to thank all of you for who are listening. Obviously, there's a lot of people listening to this show, a lot more than I would have thought. And the last couple of days have been kind of crazy. This morning's show that I just posted this morning, actually, I posted the show this morning. That was from 2 days ago. That's how crazy things have been. So this morning's show will be posted because I do have access to internet here and fast internet. And hopefully I can process this and get it all out there for you this morning. And this evening may not have a show if I do, if it's going to be late because I have a very short night tonight. But I probably will get a show out for you this evening if I can. But this might be the only show for the day until through the weekend. So happy Easter to all of you. Happy Good Friday. And the thing that was good about it was this was the day that the sacrifice was made. It was finished today. And the sealing of that was on, the sealing of that event happened on the third day. So have a great day, everybody. Have a great weekend. And God bless. Talk to y'all later.